This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A push for more economic stimulus in Europe. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. Investors in Europe seem happier today after several big American companies reported stronger than expected earnings. And today in Europe, Heineken is reporting, and so is GlaxoSmithKline, the UK-based pharmaceutical company. The BBC's Jonathan Frewin joins us on the line from London. Good morning, Jonathan.
Hi, David.
So what are we seeing emerging from these earnings reports that we've been getting over these last few days?
If you look at the big consumer firms like Heineken, the brewery firm, they're reporting sales down a tad. Other big consumer-targeted companies, similar sort of picture. And I think that is reflecting the fact that there is concern about the European consumer. But if you compare back to a week ago, where markets seem to be in turmoil, then the picture is rather better. And I was doing some sums just before we came in. If you look at the Euro Stoxx 50, which is a sort of measure of blue chip companies, its nadir was last Thursday, and it's up 6.4% compared to then. So things have picked up in that sense.
There is still, I imagine, concern within Europe about the possibility of a recession. How acute is that?
There are fears, and certainly German growth figures that came out last week were less than rosy, and that perhaps was a factor in the turmoil that we saw then. Clearly, the European Central Bank is concerned about it. It has begun a private sector bond buying program, and there are significant hopes that it will expand that to start buying debt from big private companies. And that seems to have calmed markets and investors' fears for the moment.
The BBC's Jonathan Frewin. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
You're very welcome.
And let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.18%. It's at 6,360. The German DAX is down 0.03%. It's at 8,884. And looking at the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures, they're all down slightly. Dow futures down 0.08%. It's at 16,534. And we mentioned GlaxoSmithKline. It's trading down in pre-market trading. It's at 42.90. We were talking a minute ago about last week's market turmoil. Trillions of dollars worth of gains disappeared as the major markets went down, and then up, and then down again. And when there's that kind of stock market volatility, there's this impulse to attribute it to something, to figure out why it's happened, why there's this big upward swing, and then a sharp dive. And joining us now is Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large for Fortune magazine. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, David.
So last week was so volatile, and this is something that we pay a lot of attention to, we meaning members of the news business as well. We're culpable as anybody. You know, what can we learn from the way the market was swinging up and down last week?
Nothing.
Nothing, you say?
Right. People attribute rational motivations to lurches in the market, and to me, that's crazy, though it does employ a lot of people in our profession.
Is this a new thing? I mean, when we've had volatility in the past, has it attracted as much attention?
Oh, yeah. And one of my favorite indicators of how unreliable the market is as a leading indicator comes from the conference board's leading economic indicators. Do you know how it weights the S&P 500 compared to the spread between the 10-year Treasury securities and federal funds?
I don't.
They're equally weighted at about one-tenth each. To them, this is just another indicator, and I think, you know, certainly in the short term, they're completely right.
I'm struck often by how we have these different indices, and often the Dow will be going one way and the S&P 500 will be going another way. And I just sort of wonder, you know, what that indicates about how the market's performing.
Well, what it indicates is that the Dow and the S&P are different creatures. For instance, on Monday, the S&P was up almost a whole percent, and the Dow was essentially flat. Assuming I've done my math right, the decline in IBM on Monday cost the Dow 83 points, and that was largely the difference between how the Dow performed and how the S&P performed for the day. So if you say, let's talk about the market, well, do you want to talk about the Dow? Or do you want to talk about the S&P, which is a much better indicator but has very little mind share?
Alan Sloan is senior editor at large for Fortune Magazine. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure, David.
A new report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office says that lifting restrictions on exporting crude oil, restrictions that have been in place for 40 years, could drive down gasoline prices. The idea is that if there were more oil available on the world market, we'd see lower prices here in the U.S. Well, that report was written more than a month ago, and oh, how things have changed since then. That was before world oil prices and U.S. gasoline prices slid significantly. Marketplace's Dan Weissman looks at whether or not that changes the equation.
In a way, U.S. crude is already affecting world markets by reducing U.S. imports. So that leaves oil exporters like Nigeria looking for takers and lowering their prices. So do world markets really want U.S. crude right now? Energy consultant Jeffrey Stiles says nobody knows.
We're really exploring new territory here. The new crudes that have brought all this about came into the market during a period when the prices were pretty high. These are not inexpensive crudes to get out of the ground.
So it might not be worthwhile for U.S. drillers to increase production if world prices stay low, which is still an if. Michael Levy is Senior Fellow for Energy and the Environment at the Council on Foreign Relations.
I don't think anyone knows where the price of oil will be in a year. The big news in the oil markets is not just lower prices, it's the return of volatility, and volatility works in both directions.
Either way, he says, it's not an argument for keeping the export ban. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
On the White House website, there's a place to start and sign petitions, and there's a new one calling upon President Obama to make December 26th a holiday for government workers. That's the day after Christmas. The author of the petition writes, "It'd be a good gesture to improve the morale of the federal workforce." In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.